Reading from God's holy word today, we're reading from the prophet Amos. We're in the seventh chapter and starting at verse 7, going through verse 17, which is the rest of the chapter. Hear then this prophecy from Amos. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and do not do your prophesying here. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.' Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land." A strong prophecy for those who were not following the will of the Lord. Paul, in his letter to the church in Colossians, has this to say. We're reading from the first verse in the first chapter. At the beginning, it is kind of his greeting, and so we pay attention to that. This is who it's from. It's from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, all the believers. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned about it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ in our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may have a life, that you may live a life, worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the believers in the kingdom of life. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel according to Luke. We're in the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 25. Here, the word of the Lord. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The lawyer answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But the lawyer wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds and pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him, and the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What happens when you finally figure something out? Well, it creates in you a moment when you get it. When you get it. I call those aha moments, you know, when something you couldn't understand you finally get, or when all of a sudden there's something that breaks through and it changes your worldview or your understanding. When it inspires you. When you feel like you're a completely different person because of that insight, that learning. That transformation. Have you ever noticed that it's kind of weird because everything else is always the same? You're different inside, and yet what you see is the same. It's like you had this big earthquake shift, tectonic plates moved, and you're different, and no one else is. Like you were the only one who got it. I have heard my whole life stories about understandings about this Good Samaritan. I've even preached on it for 30 years now. How about you? Listening to it, knowing it. We studied it in Sunday school, didn't we? We drew pictures of donkeys and people laying in the ditch, and we didn't know what a Samaritan was or a priest or a Levite. We just knew we were supposed to be the person who took care of the guy in the ditch, right? Yeah. And yet, sometimes we don't seem to really get it, right? Sometimes we have a tendency to put qualifiers on it. Don't we? I was learning to drive in Southern California. That was when they had that serial rapist and murderer loose. They had no clue who he was. They just kept finding his victims. "You don't ever pull over and help anyone," my mom and dad would say to me. "You don't ever give anyone you do not know a ride in the car. If your friend is driving and you're riding along, you don't let your friend pull over and let strangers in the car," right? We had to be really careful, and there would be people who would be stranded. You could tell clearly they had a flat tire or their car had overheated because the lid was open and the steam was pouring everywhere. We did not have cell phones in those days, so we didn't call and get assistance for them. We didn't even pull over and roll down the windows to say, "Do you need help?" It was that in us. You do not do this. You're 4'10", you're 16, you weigh maybe 90 pounds, you have no hope. Stay safe, right? And yet, I go to church and I hear about people stuck in the ditch and we're supposed to be this whatever a Samaritan thing is. Oh yeah, that's right, an illegal immigrant that's considered half citizen and not really Jewish, who helped out the Jew. And here we are on our annual visitation of this parable because it is so crucial to our very core understanding of who we are as Christians. A well-trained mind, a legal expert, a lawyer, a smart person, logical, imaginative, making connections between seemingly unrelated facts, and yet still able to root out the inconsistencies when other people tried to do the same thing. Concerned with the law, if not with justice, withdrawing the line between right and wrong. And he was following Jesus around, this lawyer. And in the morning of our story, we figure out that he must be hungry for God, right? Because he's following him. He's not at work. He's listening to what Jesus has to say out in the countryside, talking to the people. And he's worked his way up in the crowd over time. He's finally close enough that he can get Jesus' attention. Right there in the midst of everybody crowding and raising their hands and talking at once, he wants to know what the life of faith might require of him, this man so hungry for God. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" he asked Jesus. Don't we all kind of wonder that once in a while? Haven't we at some point? Otherwise our faith would still be what it was when we were in Sunday school at kindergarten age, yeah? What must I do? Life with no end? Life with no death? Some people understand eternal life that it means heaven, the jackpot at the end of the rainbow. But when we really listen to what Jesus is saying about it, eternal life also means hitting the jackpot right now. Eternal life means a depth and breadth and sweetness of life right in this moment. Not only after we've breathed our last earthly breath. But even if you have that understanding and belief, how do you get it? What must you do to experience it? That's exactly what this lawyer is asking Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" In good rabbinical fashion, Jesus does not answer him. The lawyer wants somebody else to hand him the key. He wants the answer to come from outside himself, but Jesus wants this person to discover it all for himself. And so he answers with a question. "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And the lawyer answers him beautifully. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Do you get goosebumps when you hear that? I do. Kind of makes my hair stand up on my arms. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. It's beautiful, but it's also right and true and profound. Jesus tells him, "You got the right answer, so now go and live it. If you do, you will live." Don't you hear the clunk that happened right in the middle of that conversation? One of those vacuums, not an aha moment, moment, right? The lawyer, perhaps, like us, is thinking about all the people that he passes to and from on his way to work. All the people sitting on steps, sleeping on sidewalks, drinking in doorways. The morning headlines, letters that come unsolicited in the mail asking for money for abused children, prisoners of conscience, Central American refugees, handicapped veterans, victims of a dozen deadly diseases. A lawyer maybe thinks also about all the people on his books that can't pay him what they owe him, and the crowds more in need of free legal advice. And all of this on top of the heavy responsibilities he has at work and at home. All that comes flashing before his eyes, and his heart kind of goes clunk. And he feels like the air got sucked out of the room, except he's outdoors. Because there's no way in the world he can do it all. Do this, and you will live. Do this, and you will die of physical, emotional, and economic exhaustion, is what his mind is telling him. So the lawyer does what any good lawyer should do. He justifies himself. Luke says that he asks Jesus to define his terms. What do you mean by shall? Who's my neighbor? He's hoping for some help here, like, throw me a lifeline, Jesus. I can phone a friend if I need to. Jesus looks at him. And again, he says, who is my neighbor? But don't you think that maybe the question he was asking, because sometimes I've asked this question myself, and I hope I'm not alone, but don't you think the question he was really asking was, who is not my neighbor? Yeah? Because then I don't have to worry about them. Who may I legitimately set outside my concern and still feel good about myself? He wants to have a discussion with Jesus, maybe some good legal negotiation to expose the problems inherent in with the mandate that Jesus has given. And maybe if he's really lucky, it'll become so complicated that he and Jesus and everyone will just kind of quit the conversation and go home, and he'll go to work so he can pay his bills with clear conscience because he tried really hard at it. Have you ever done that before? Maybe with your spouse or a friend, coworker, someone whom you maybe agree with politically or not, agree with politically, or maybe on religion. I mean, the list of taboos is so great, right? Pick any topic. You know. I'll go to lunch with some friends, or as we recently did with family, together for a house party, and somebody brings up a topic, homelessness, right? It's an insolvable problem, and yet we all wade in. Addiction, mental illness, illiteracy, the welfare system, low-cost housing. How in the world can we, a group of four or five people sitting around on a porch on a good weekend, solve the problem? If we're really honest, some of the things that were said is that maybe there were some poor people who were really just, you know, like milking the system. So it's okay if we leave them poor, right? They deserve it. But then again, someone else would point out that there's some rich people who also are not very deserving of anything that they have. And then that would chase down another path, and pretty soon it would be to the point where we were overwhelmed with all the problems we identified and biting our tongues because of our disagreement with what other people were saying. And maybe we were just feeling that we'd done everything we could and there was nothing we could do, because clearly it was a far bigger problem than we ever had the means to solve. So we could go on a bike ride or go fishing. The point of these arguments, you see, is not really to come to resolution. They're to lock yourself into a certain viewpoint, reinforce that viewpoint, and then help you all feel justified that you tried. You tried. But it got so complicated and so overwhelming, and nobody could really define the terms and make it simple and doable. And that's kind of what the lawyer was all ready to do. But Jesus didn't cooperate. The lawyer wants to talk about love and how complicated it is to be open to everyone all the time and how impossible really it is. And can't Jesus make the directions a little bit easier to follow? Like defining exactly who is the people I have to worry about and giving me permission to not worry about people I don't know? Jesus knows that the last thing on earth the lawyer needs is another discussion with little more understanding. And so he tells him a story, the story you already know. It doesn't matter what we think or understand, what we feel or say about love, but what we do about love, Jesus says, that brings us life. And so after telling the story, he lets the lawyer answer his own question. Which of these three, Jesus says, the two religious types who crossed to the other side of the road, or the illegal immigrant who wasn't really of the same religion and class as the outcast, as the beaten man? Who of those three proved neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? Of course it's a setup. Of course. Because there's only one simple answer to Jesus' question. And the lawyer again gives the right one. The one who showed him mercy. The one who did something. Go and do likewise, Jesus tells the lawyer, do this and you will live. Such a court trial lawyer Jesus is. The question is asked, who is my neighbor? But the question that Jesus answers is, whose neighbor are you? Anyone's, everyone's. Jesus declines to limit the commandment of love and lets the lawyer decide how the lawyer will act upon it. Jesus is calling him not to a leap of thought or understanding or knowledge or emotion, but to a leap of action, the showing of mercy, of being a neighbor, of doing love. That's radically different from an internal transformation or aha moment, isn't it? The sermon is not about doing more. The sermon is not about feeling guilty if you do not. Because the very next story in the gospel, according to Luke, is about a very busy, busy Martha and her lazy sister, Mary, whom Jesus praises for lolling at his feet while Martha does more. This sermon is not about doing more. It's a sermon about not confusing the knowing, understanding, feeling, thinking, or saying of love with the doing of love. Those are all perfectly fine activities, but only one of them, you see, leads to eternal life, according to the story, according to Jesus. Only one leads to the fullness of life that makes you believe there is no end to life or to love either. And thank God that you have enough of both to go around. So love God, love a neighbor, be a neighbor, and let us not complicate things by trying to argue the specifics. You know what it means to do love, because sometime or another, you have been on the receiving end of it. Remember, knowing the right answers does not change a thing. If you want the world to look different when you're feeling different inside, then do love. Do a little, do a lot, do some. But do not forget to get some for yourself. It's a hot summer. Let's let the showers of God's love soak up the seeds of our right answers, that they might blossom into actions. And then we can watch the landscape change. Like Nike says, just do it. And find out when you do live, and you do live abundantly. Just like Jesus said. Amen.